but still maintains that it is a lovely shop. He and his father have always liked it. In fact, they built it twice with their own hands. They had just got it up once in all its nakedness, directly in front of one of the only two genuine maypoles in England, when the council came along and wanted the road wider. So Albert and his father pulled the shop down again, all two stories of it, carefully brick by brick, and set it up again once more, 15 feet or so further back, where it stands, at least at the time of writing, a visible sign that the village is not an old-fashioned musical comedy backcloth. The maypole is not used as a maypole now, of course. There is nothing arty about the place, which is still agricultural. The pole, which is only a pole, has a weathercock on top of it, and at its foot, where one waits for the bus, grow two may trees, one red and one white, which the old doctor and Mrs. Graves put there 40 years ago when they were the uncrowned kings of the village. Behind the maypole is Norrie's Forge, which has not been altered in the last 100 years at least, and which looks like one of those very neat and restrained advertisement plates in big American magazines, the kind beneath which the copy begins, "In olden days, fine craftsmen worked under difficulties." You never saw such ordered clutteredness, and when the fire is in full blast, and he and his second eldest brother, Jack, the Mycroft of the family, are at work there, in their goatskin aprons, clinking and clanking on the largest anvil, which rings like a fire bell all over the village, the effect, if they will forgive me for saying so, is quite extraordinarily reminiscent of the diamond mine scene in Snow White. This is especially true on a dark and windy autumn day, when the black clouds pile up over the low roof of red pantiles and there seems to be no horizon. Reggie's grocer's shop, the Auburn Stores, is in the square too, and so is the Queen's Head, which stands back in its own yard with a great sign swinging on a rather nice post, which the brewers have put up. The post office is next to the Queen's, and it does look a little as if it had come off a toffee tin. It has bow windows with small panes, one of which has been taken out to let in a red tin letterbox, and at one time it must have been a very important shop. Auburn is perhaps a little like that. Not degenerate or decaying, but retired. Most of the medium-sized houses used to be shops in the days when 10 miles to town meant 10 miles on foot or astride. Norrie says that when he was a little old boy, the man who had Reggie's shop had 5 assistants, each with a clean white tablecloth apron every Monday morning, and it was "Ford 1, please, and 2, are you serving?" which sounds mightily impressive, and considering the size of the building, astonishing. As well as the Queen's, there are 2 other pubs, which is plenty, since there are only 600-odd of us, counting the outlying farms, and a large percentage of the population is elderly and stays at home. One of these inns, the Thatchers, is kept by Norrie's brother Jack and their 2 sisters, Miss Vic and Miss Susie, and there they've got the ham in the glass case. This ham was cured for the christening of one of Norrie's uncles, but never cooked or eaten because of a word or two over church or chapel, which delayed the ceremony indefinitely. The ham has been there for 90 years and has shrunken until it is not bigger than a brown leathery hand, which it resembles. The Lion lies up the other end of the village, on the way to the church. That's a very popular house, and was even more so before Sis joined the WAFs. There used to be another house called the Wheatsheaf, but the village sold a licence a long time ago and invested the money, so that since then we have been one of the few parishes in England which possess a little capital of their own. In our case, it is not a large sum. It represents £3,000 or £4,000 at the outside, but it means that we have our own row of council houses up past the school, and it also means that we're not quite so beholden to the rural district council, or even to the county council, as we might be. Parochially, we have money in our purse. Our other public possessions include a railway, composed of 1 derailed coach, which quite recently contained a poster which inquired fatuously, "Why not winter in Prague?" and a very small train indeed, which goes there and back in the morning and there and back again at night. This train, or rather the line upon which it runs, and which links us with the main track, 5 miles away.